skies for amber. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Garland Favorito. Garland, thank you so very much for being with us again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me back. I've just admired you for so many years, and I appreciate all the work you've been doing, and it's an honor to be on your show again.
Well, it's a real pleasure to have you. And Garland, what's the title of that book that you wrote?
It's called Our Nation Betrayed.
And, of course, our nation is betrayed, and the fact that most people don't know that is because the media is controlled, and because there are five major corporations, all which interlock with international finance, that control the media, the average individual really doesn't understand what's going on. And so why don't you explain to them how you got involved in this battle, and, of course, what's really happening behind the scenes, not what we read about in the newspaper, but what's really happening.
Well, thank you, Stan. I'd love to. I got involved just as a plain old citizen, happy-go-lucky person, and the last thing I wanted to have anything to do with was politics. Much like everybody else out there, so many people, you know, were caught up in sports or, you know, raising the family, and everything like that. And I probably first started to suspect something was rotten in the government. During the 30th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination, I visited Dallas and did some research, and I knew something was not right there all along. But then when I really started to look into it, probably the thing that really got me started was I was reading the book On the Trail of the Assassins by Jim Garrison, and I decided to try to verify some of the charges that he had made, which I thought were absolutely ludicrous. And one of them happened to be that he had mentioned that J. Edgar Hoover had switched frames 314 and 315 of the Zapruder film to make it look like John F. Kennedy's head went forward after the fatal bullet struck rather than backwards. So that would implicate that the shot was fired from the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository and rather than the grassy knoll. And I didn't believe that, so I decided that I would go and investigate the claim that he made. And he had a reference to the House Select Committee Assassinations investigation from 1977. And at the time, I was working at the Coca-Cola. I was just doing a contract programming. I'm in the computer business. That's how I make my living, doing different kinds of systems analysis work and that sort of thing. And I'm kind of very analytical, so I figured I'm just going to go over and disprove Jim Garrison. Because
that was a mistake.
And that was a definite mistake. I found he was absolutely right.
And I know that's how I got into this, trying to prove it was all wrong. And, of course, you found out it was really true. And, of course, J. Edgar Hoover was intimately involved with this, as was the CIA, as was Earl Warren, as was there two or three people on the court. And those who weren't, well, one of them was Hale Boggs, who died in a very mysterious plane crash. In fact, the FBI knew where the plane was. They just never went to get him. Isn't that strange? And, of course, Arlen Specter, who was the man who was the assistant counsel there, who contrived so much of what occurred, well, he's been well rewarded. He is now Senator Arlen Specter from Pennsylvania, who hates everything that we as Christians would appreciate. We'll be back in just a moment with Garland Favorito here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our special guest this afternoon is Garland Favorito, and he's written a wonderful book called A Nation Betrayed, and it really is, of course, is his quest to understand what's going on in the world today. And of course, he was just sort of an average guy, like so many of us, till the 30th anniversary of the murder of an American president. And of course, he began to investigate the assassination, found out that some of the things that Jim Garrison had said in his book on the pursuit of the assassins were absolutely true, and suddenly realized this is one of the greatest cover-ups of all time. And so when you found out that J. Edgar Hoover really had tampered with his Zapruder film, why don't you pick up the story from there?
Well, and then that started to bother me, but even that, because being my first experience, didn't really push me over the edge. And probably the next thing that happened was the death of Vince Foster, which was back in July of 1993. And they had said, both Robert Fisk and Ken Starr had concluded that Foster had committed suicide, even though his fingerprints were not even on the gun that was used to kill him. So I looked at that and said, well, this seems like a Kennedy assassination cover-up all over again. And remembered, of course, that Foster was the chief White House counsel for Bill Clinton, and he was also Bill Clinton's boyhood friend. And I started to wonder, why didn't Bill Clinton want to know who killed his boyhood friend, who was his own White House counsel? And when he didn't really want to find out, that started to trigger me into something really, really bad. And then probably the thing that pushed me over the edge was the video from your friend and mine, Pat Matriciana, and he did the obstruction of justice about the two boys, Kevin Ives and Don Henry, who were killed on the Arkansas railroad tracks down not too far from Little Rock, and they had actually uncovered a drug operation that was being run by people who were involved in the state government.
And, of course, as a result of making that film, why, of course, they infiltrated Pat Matriciana's organization. They planted people in his office. One of a man he thought was his good friend was actually an FBI informant, and they set him up to make a statement in that film that got him a lawsuit with the FBI deeply involved, trying to destroy him, because anybody who tries to bring out the truth will come under attack. And this is one of the frightening things. The government sends innocent people to jail and destroys the reputations of others. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Garland Favorito. And, of course, I was intimately involved with Pat Matriciana at that time. And, of course, I knew the people working for him in his office were FBI informants. And Pat is such a sweet, lovable guy. He just couldn't believe that these good friends of his who'd come all the way across the country to help him were actually FBI plants. When the government plants people in organizations and sets up phony cases against them, why, we're in real trouble as a nation, aren't we, Garland?
Absolutely, and of course they have done that quite a few times in different scenarios, and I was surprised, as you were, that Pat did not see that a little bit earlier than he did, and it resulted in a lot of problems for him, but and as you've mentioned, I think, before, previously, but he's a great individual, and I came to be actually good friends after I just called him. I called up the office one day. I said, I saw the video. I've seen them all. I saw the obstruction of justice, and I've got to get involved. I cannot let these kinds of crimes, these murders, just go unpunished without justice. So,
and in fact, I had the opportunity of interviewing Ambrose Evans and Pritchard, who was the Sunday Times over in London. He was in Washington, D.C. at the time. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Chris Ruddy, who was a reporter. And both of them went to visit a gentleman who had actually been at Fort Marcy Park. And of course, they'd realized, of course, they switched the cars around there. there, and the FBI kept telling him he didn't see what he thought he saw, and he insisted he did, and he was going to be called to a grand jury. So they set out to try to intimidate him, and both Evans Pritchard and Chris Reddy told me that how this man was tracked. He'd go out to walking, and these people would come up and stare at him, would take pictures of him, or do everything they could to frighten him to death so he would not testify before the grand jury. Now, that, of course, is a criminal offense. But, of course, who are you going to report it to? The FBI? These were actually FBI agents, and Evans Pritchard talks about that in his book, I think, The Secret Life of Bill Clinton. And, of course, he verified this to me in my interviews with him. So the FBI is out there intimidating people, telling them they didn't see what they saw, and, of course, trying to frighten them to death. It's sort of like the woman who was in the Pentagon that Jim Mars talked about. She actually was in the Pentagon when the explosion occurred on the day of the September 11th. And, of course, she was able to find her child who was there. And they came out through the hole in the side of the building you've seen there, the Pentagon. But there wasn't any wreckage. And there wasn't any fire there. The fire was in the story above. Not down there where supposedly this entire gigantic plane disappeared into the building and left no records at all. And of course she went to the hospital, and then come the men in black. And this is all told in Jim Marr's book, The Inside Job. And the men in black come in, and they tell her she saw the wreckage and she saw the flames, and she said, no, I didn't see any line wreckage there and the hole inside the Pentagon. I didn't see any flames. Oh yes, you did. You better take the money and not say anything. And so they offered her a great deal of money to be quiet. Go ahead.
And that's exactly right. And of course, you referred to earlier, the fellow that you referred to was Patrick Knowlton, who was tailed by the FBI, and Chris Reddy also actually was with him during some of the times that he was being harassed by FBI agents, or at least I think they were FBI agents. They sure did look like them. And it's just amazing, of course. And as we go into 9/11, I know there's lots of areas we can go in on that that whole cover up there, and the questions that have never been answered, and the phony investigation that was conducted by the so-called independent commission.
The 9/11 commission, right? First investigation was really far better than the second one. But, of course, they were blocked as well, and the administration, having nothing to hide, insist on censoring both reports.
Yes, and perhaps, you mentioned the FBI and 9/11 together, and that's an interesting thing, Stan, that you were speaking about. I did a little research, and I did an article that's actually, it's not actually part of the book, but some of the parts of it are in the book, but it's just amazing that just a few people in FBI headquarters, just a handful, were able to shut down a national field investigations in San Diego, Phoenix, Arizona, Chicago, and Minneapolis, all that could have possibly prevented 9/11.
Of course, they knew exactly what was going to happen. You've been told that the FBI just couldn't connect the dots. They were so incompetent. Well, I talked to the woman who headed the Norman Flight School in Norman, Oklahoma, the Airman's Flight School, and she told me that 10 days before 9/11, they were there checking on Zacharias Massui. Now, they've denied that they ever did that, and she told me that. Not only that, they were there right after the 9/11 attack, and they knew all about Muhammad Atta that had been there to his school. She didn't even know. She ran the school. She didn't remember Muhammad Atta, but the FBI knew all about everything he was doing immediately after the attack. How could this incompetent organization that had no idea the attack was coming be so efficient immediately after the attack that within 24 hours they knew who all those people were? That is an amazing accomplishment, isn't it?
Well, that's right, and they were actually in Muhammad Atta's last known residence, I think, in Maine, just literally, or the last known place he stayed, within hours after 9/11. So you're right, they certainly did know who Muhammad Atta was prior to the 9/11 happening. And these same people in headquarters who have sabotaged these investigations have actually gotten promotions and raises in pay. It's quite an amazing string of them. One of them, named Spike Bowman, actually received a presidential rank award and 20% plus pay increase, and he was the one, probably one of the ones most responsible for shutting down the Massoui investigation. But there's quite a handful just like him. He's just one example.
Well, I think the tragedy is, of course, the reason, going back to the Kennedy assassination, J. Edgar Hoover was a degenerate. He was a homosexual. And, of course, that has been totally kept from the American people, covered in a book called The Secret History of the FBI. Just as today, everybody knows that Arafat is dying in France, but, gee, they can't figure out what's wrong with Arafat. See, shucks, we've got the finest doctors in France. We just can't figure out what's wrong with him. He's dying of a mysterious unknown disease. No, he's dying of AIDS. If you go up on the internet and type in Arafat and AIDS, you'll see all the articles about it. He's been a known degenerate for many, many years. How do you keep that from the American people? Why you control the media? So, of course, you can't understand so much of what's gone on unless you understand, of course, that there is this evil, these forces of evil working at the highest echelons of our government, consistently being protected by the mass media. J. Edgar Hoover covered for what happened to the assassination of President Kennedy. The CIA covered for it. They were both involved, as was Lyndon Johnson. And we have an interview with a woman who was with Lyndon Johnson the night before the assassination when the whole thing was being planned. And that's in our second JFK assassination update four tape set. But go ahead.
Well, and Stan, I was just going to add to that, the fact that J. Edgar Hoover was a degenerate is important because that was used to compromise him in many cases. And one example would be the fact that he denied that any organized crime existed all the way up until 1958 or 59 when they had that major meeting up in Appalachian, New York.
The Costa Nostra, right.
And a local police officer actually discovered organized crime in America.
J. Edgar Hoover had no idea. Well, the reason he had no idea was because they had pictures of him cross-dressing and in homosexual acts. And so they blackmailed him, and he left the Cosa Nostra, the mafia alone, and of course they didn't blow the whistle on him.
Exactly. So that's I think that's an important connection to make, as you have, Stan. It's just there's just so many areas of corruption we can go into. It's hard to know where to start and how to organize it. It's just amazing. Just year after year, there's something different that's going on. That's all taking away our freedom and our liberty. That's why it's so important that you have the shows that you do and try to keep getting the word out.
Well, tell us more about your book, A Nation Betrayed. What is the basic theme of it?
Well, the premise, I was involved in the Clinton impeachment, I think, as I just mentioned, after I got to those, looked at those murders that were being covered up, and a lot of them led back to the Clinton administration. Not that he was involved in the actual murder, but it's definitely involved in the cover-up. I decided to hold the first ever national impeachment town hall, which, by the way, was blacked out by C-SPAN. We had it over here in Congressman Bob Barr's district, and we had a tremendous agenda for the meeting. Howard Phillips was down, John McManus, the publisher of New American, and Steve Fisher from the National Legal Foundation, Bob Barr spoke, Pat Matriciano was there. We just had a tremendous agenda, and several hundred people turned out. And one interesting thing about that, what I didn't mention on the last show, was that we actually hired the same crew that C-SPAN would have and shot that up on a satellite, paid for, cost us thousands of dollars, and wanted to get the word out nationally, and C-SPAN would not carry it, even though they later on carried two other impeachment town halls, which were put on by congressmen who were pro-Clinton. For supporting or against the impeachment. So anyway, that was how I got involved with the Clinton impeachment. However, the Republicans collected all this evidence against Bill Clinton, and they decided to turn it into a sex soap opera.
And of course, they did not go into Chinagate, they did not go into Travelgate, they did not go into Whitewatergate, they didn't go into Vince Foster, they didn't go into the strange death of Ron Brown and what happened to the military officers who found the bullet hole and ran Ron Brown's head. And, of course, it became all a matter of Monica Lewinsky.
Exactly.
And it's amazing, of course, Kenneth Starr just happens to be getting a salary from this Costco, this Chinese company. He was getting $100,000 a year, a salary for them while he was working for the government. Would he perhaps be influenced by the people paying this fabulous salary? Well, you'll have to ask that yourself. But he certainly did everything he could to cover up the major crimes of the Clinton administration and the murders that occurred there. And, of course, what happened to James McDougal when he was ready to turn state's evidence. And what did they do? Did they protect him? No, they left him in prison where he died under very strange circumstances. Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the blast blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-1. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox. The fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Garland Favorito, and of course our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or if you're here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Now, it's very difficult for many people to believe what we're saying. In fact, J. Edgar Hoover was always one of my heroes. You know, of course, he was staunchly anti-communist. At least we were told he was anti-communist. But of course, as you begin looking into his background, you find out that he covered for the mafia up until 1958 or 1959, and the only reason he did anything was, of course, Bobby Kennedy was embarrassing him, doing everything he could to force him to go after the mafia, and he never forgave the Kennedys for that. And, of course, I don't think he was unhappy at all that when they were done in, I think that, according to the woman who was with the Lyndon Johnson the night before the assassination, why J. Edgar Hoover was at the meeting along with Lyndon Johnson and Richard Nixon and members of the CIA and the big oil men from Texas. They all had a different reason to want to, of course, get rid of President Kennedy. And one of the most incredible stories is the cover-up of the what happened with the Warren Commission. And then, of course, there were over 100 people. We used to carry the book, the missing witnesses, over 100 people who knew something about the assassination, who all died under very mysterious circumstances. And if you want to know who did him in, you need to get the book Double Cross, written by the brother of Sam Giancana, the head of the mafia at that time. Fascinating insight into not only how they killed Kennedy and who killed Kennedy, but why Jack Ruby walked into the police station in Dallas, Texas, pulled out a gun and shot Lee Harvey Oswald when he knew he was going to be captured. Why would anybody do anything that stupid? Well, when you read the book Double Cross, you'll know why. So pick up the story from there, Garland.
Well, great points, Stan, and I think you've mentioned several times, just to fill in a couple of names, Galen Ross has covered a lot of this information, and you were, I think, referring to the Clint Murchison meeting that happened the night before the assassination. And then just one other point we were talking about, the Communist Chinese connection. Ken Starr was actually retained, but the company's name was City Steel, and City Steel had a direct connection to the China International Trust Investment, which was formed by the Communist Party of the People's Republic of China. So that was the connection that Starr had through his firm, Kirkland and Ellis, directly back into some of the same Communist Chinese money that flowed into the Clinton and Gore campaigns in the DNC. So just trying to fill in a little couple of names for you. Had to look all that stuff up while I was thinking about it. It's hard to remember. There's just so many corruption, so much corruption from so many different angles. It's just hard to keep track of it all.
And, of course, the Clinton administration transferred all of our most advanced missile technology to the Red Chinese, and I call them the Red Chinese. They're as red as they ever were. And they, of course, gave it to the North Koreans and to the Iranians and, of course, to the Pakistanis, creating the best enemy money could buy. And if anybody out there in the listening audience honestly believe that Bill Clinton did that, though, for a couple of $100,000 in campaign contributions, that's the cover. They can't let you understand that there really are diabolical forces out there that want World War III, and it's going to be a nuclear war, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's right. And you were asking me, the way we got onto this was the fact that you were asking me what the premise of the book was. So, and I was involved in the Clinton impeachment, but what happened when the Republicans turned this into a sex soap opera, I knew that something was really wrong, because as you just have already explained, they had all this other evidence that they could have brought forward and picked any one or two charges and had real serious corruption to impeach the president on, but instead they tried to impeach him for lying about sex, which was not why the impeachment movement ever started. The impeachment movement started because of the corruption that you mentioned down in Arkansas, and then, of course, it was even the fuel was added to the fire after all the communist Chinese money was exposed and all the treasonous technology that was transferred. So I knew something was rotten in Denmark, and I realized that we were in a state of mutually assured destruction between the Democrats and Republicans, because Bill Clinton was holding information about the Republicans over their head, specifically related to George H.W. Bush, and even back then in 1999, I knew that the Republicans were trying to get George W. Bush elected to president of the United States.
And I think what people need to understand is the leaders of both political parties are corrupt. When you understand that, everything makes sense. If you really think there's a conflict between the Republicans and the Democrats, you haven't noticed how that the Republicans have become the biggest spenders in all recorded history.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And of course, all the good people are supporting him.
Yes, indeed. And I'm sorry, I thought we were coming up on a break there.
Well, we are coming up on a break, I'm afraid. We'll be here in just a moment. And when we get back, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or at 464-8295.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 on the went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV or order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book anywhere that will give you a more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV or now.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just mention, of course, we've got a couple of great new tape sets. We've got a 4-tape set on Operation Paperclip. And if you don't know what that is, it was basically the top secret operation that they had at the end of the Second World War to violate the laws of our country and bring Nazi war criminals over here to continue their biological and experiments and their mind control experiments and to build our space program. Werner von Braun was a Nazi, and the man who was in charge of the whole thing, General Strughold, was one of the major Nazi war criminals. Why we even named our Space Institute after that great guy? So why was the CIA helping the Nazi war criminals? Why did they help 10,000 of them escape to South America to continue their devious and occult activities? And, of course, nothing was ever done. It was your tax money at work. Operation Paperclip available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and remember our telephone number if you'd like to call 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we have Ben from Salinas, and Ben, did you have a question for our guest?
I certainly do. First of all, we have been witness to this cover-up of the Kennedy assassination forever. I wonder if your guest could tell me, are we ever going to know the truth? Because it's, in listening to him talk, there had to be a lot more footage to so completely identify all those witnesses who are not dead. So there had to be several cameras running. This was one of their coup de grace kind of celebrations, And you know, as I've told you, Dr. Stan, I think Mr. Kennedy's brain, which went missing, is I think it's the prized possession at the crypt at Yale University where the skull and bones keep their trophies. That's just one man's opinion.
I wouldn't want to go on a limb there. I think that, of course, he was hit with a bullet from the front. It just blew the brains out the back, and you could actually see that in some of the films. So, Don't get off on way far out things, because that could detract from some of the good things that you do say. Okay. What was your question,
Matt? My question is this. Are we ever going to know the truth? And if we're not going to know the truth, how can they so completely continue to put it off in 2086 when all the players are dead? Our country is under threat now. And we knowledgeable people know the CIA was formed by the Nazis that were transported. That was the core. And Bush was their baby in the 70s. I mean, shouldn't we follow all of these leads and give us, we the people, the truth? Is it not our treasury they're feeding on?
Well, that's a great, great point. First of all, there's two questions, actually. Are we ever going to know the truth, and will the government ever admit the truth?
Yeah.
The government will never admit the truth. There are some more truth that has come out here that may not be largely known in the public. One was a book called Regicide by a person that I know named Gregory Douglas, who I think did a fantastic job. And
we carry that book here at Radio Liberty if anybody wants it. Do you know Gregory Douglas personally?
Yes, I did. I met him in Washington, D.C., and I was astounded by his research. He also has some research on 9/11 that we could talk about. But specifically, the book Regicide, he was friends with Robert Crowley, as you probably know, Dr. Stan, and who was the head of the clandestine operations during that time period. And he has revealed quite a bit of information that appears to be authentic government documents that were supplied to him by Crowley prior to Crowley's death, and with the assumption that he could print them once Crowley had died. But basically what they show is that Lee Harvey Oswald was working for the CIA when he went to Moscow in 1959, and that he was an FBI informant in 1963 at the time of the Kennedy assassination, and that the CIA did have an operation to assassinate the president, and that operation was called Operation Zipper, and that operation involved just a very, very few handful of people, including James Jesus Angleton.
I can say I would hope that we can get a serious, truthful investigation of what really happened on 9/11 with all the vice presidents and presidents, past, present, and future, testifying under oath and telling we the people what really happened, because you know what? It's our dime, and I understand the Constitution still says we the people.
Okay, Ben, I hope someday we can get the truth out, but right now, of course, all we can do is, of course, to try to get the American people to know that because of the lie, because they weren't concerned about what happened to Kennedy, and of course, they weren't concerned what happened at Waco, and they weren't concerned what happened at Oklahoma City. We had 9/11, and that is going to lead us into World War III, and an awful lot of the sons and grandsons of the people who are listening to this program today are going to die in this totally contrived war, unless the people have the courage and the integrity and the moral fortitude to take a stand. So our plea is, get informed. Don't accept anything we say. Check the facts, and if you find that what we're saying is true, then join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure. Anything else you want to say, Ben?
God bless both of you.
God bless you too. Thanks so much. Okay, fine. That was Ben from Salinas, and he feels so deeply about what's going on. I wish every person in our audience felt as deeply about America, and it treasured it as much as Ben does. Well, Garland, of course, as you're going across America trying to get people to understand what's going on, what is your take on do you think people are beginning to wake up at all, or would they just as soon not know the truth and continue living in their make-believe world? What was that? The Truman Show, I think, was the show with Jim Carrey. Everything was make-believe, but Carrey was really happy until one day he found he was living on a television set all of his life.
Right. Well, Dr. Stan, oh, by the way, one quick point on the more of the Kennedy assassination. The lady that you mentioned earlier, Madeline Duncan Brown, was LBJ's mistress And that's a good, she's a good point of research for people.
Well, actually, we actually have an interview with Madeline Duncan Brown, a full hour of interview. So for the person, and we actually carry Madeline Duncan Brown's book as well. So for the people out there, if you'd like to hear these people telling their stories, it's a wonderful interview with Madeline Duncan Brown. And I recommend that that very highly to our listeners.
And that's that's a great point. It's more powerful when you hear the person tell the story. That's what's really very, very, very convincing. But you asked me what do people think? I think one of the hardest things for people to understand is the points that you make every day about how the corruption involves both parties and how deep the corruption is. And in the case of that I uncovered, Bill Clinton was holding significant information about CIA drug trafficking operations that headed back to George H.W. Bush, regardless of where in the world they were. He seemed to always be at the top of the organization, and the Republicans wanted to get George W. elected president, and I realized that even before he was ever nominated. But Bill Clinton had begun releasing information about that through the CIA Inspector General's report, literally 1 hour after the impeachment inquiry was voted on in the House, and so we had a case what I call mutually assured destruction. And I think one of the most difficult things to understand and believe, and particularly coming from the more conservative type perspective, is how the CIA has been running drugs into America for 4 decades, and they've been participating in all these illicit activities ever since the inception.
Well, I think that's the hardest thing, I think, Garland, for people to believe that the CIA would be involved in drug running. You know, after all, aren't we involved in a war on drugs? Aren't we trying to arrest people and keep them from using drugs? That's all a cover. I mean, the truth of the matter is, Garland's absolutely right. The CIA is involved in drug running. In fact, we have a wonderful 4-tape set on that subject. Is there really a war on drugs? One of those is taken from a clip from the White House when, of course, Sarah McLennan, who is a White House correspondent, she's passed away now, asked Bill Clinton about what's going on in MENA Airport and the drug smuggling. And Bill Clinton, you'll hear him saying, well, that wasn't me. That was the federal government. Mm-hmm. Amazing clips, but of course the American people don't want to believe that, because if that's really true, then maybe they have to get involved. Actually, the Inspector General's report, which we actually have a copy of, and you can get on Michael Rupert's website, talks about the CIA agents involved in drug smuggling. And if anybody wants to get that, why, we can make copies, or you can certainly get it from Michael Rupert's website, totally suppressed by the major media, because the American people are never supposed to know who the biggest drug smugglers in the world today are, and it's not Osama bin Laden. In fact, it's the people who are working with Osama bin Laden, the American CIA.
Well, that's right, and probably the single greatest piece of evidence I think that I've seen, the photographic evidence, and you probably also have carried this book as well, as Dan Hopsicker's Barry and the Boys. It was the picture of the Operation 40 assassination team. Barry Seal, recognized as the world's greatest drug smuggler for the United States. The CIA denied for decades that he was a CIA agent, and then Dan Hopsicker, in interviewing his widow after he was assassinated, before he was scheduled to testify in Arkansas in 1986, Hopsicker uncovers the photo with Barry Seal in the picture, sitting at a dinner in Mexico City with Felix Rodriguez.
Yeah, Felix Rodriguez is a CIA operative, right?
Right, probably the most notorious CIA agent of all times, as well as Frank Sturgis. Another notorious CIA officer.
Frank Sturgis had to do with what? Was he involved with the assassination?
He was one of the tramps that appears to have been photographed, along with Howard Hunt,
all right, of course,
back behind the grassy knoll area.
And they were, of course, all in this picture with Barry Seal. Yes, we do carry that book. Barry and the Boys, the story of Barry Seal, a man who made $1 billion drug smuggling, and then, of course, the CIA had him killed.
Mm-hmm. And also in that same picture is William Seymour, who is believed to be the Oswald double. during the Oswald's, you know, when they had set Oswald up as the patsy for that operation, and just recently has come to light, appears to be sitting next to Barry Seal, the current director of the Central Intelligence Agency, Porter Goss.
Porter Goss, oh yes. Wasn't it amazing? After he left the CIA, he went into Congress, and then he was head of the House Intelligence Committee, an independent investigator. Well, he was a CIA operative all the time, and now they brought him back to be the number one man, the number two man he wanted. Of course, I had to step aside because they brought up the fact he'd been arrested for shoplifting. This is the man Porter Goss wanted for the number two man, but I guess I was thinking even the American people wouldn't go for that.
It's just completely amazing. So, but now we have even photographic evidence that the CIA has been involved in the drug trafficking for years, and of course in my book I documented several different operations and the whole stream of how that all goes back to George H.W. Bush, and one of the significant things is that that's all connected in with the Kennedy assassination.
And people have forgotten that George Herbert Walker Bush, a member of the Board of Directors of the Council on Foreign Relations, a member of the Trilateral Commission, member of the Bilderbergers. He had resigned from them all when he ran for the president, but he was a former director of the Central Intelligence Agency.
That's right, and that was there in 1976 when the Operation Watchtower was going on, when that would be cocaine was being run from Colombia in low-flying planes into Panama, where it was picked up and distributed by the Noriegas, and that operation was a Special Air Force Special Air Group operation, Army Division, Special Forces, that was conducted in all likelihood, as you mentioned on a previous show, within the Central Intelligence Agency.
And here you can actually hear on one of the tapes we have, is there really a war on drug and four tapes? And Bill Clinton, when asked about what was going on in Mena, Arkansas, he says, well, that wasn't me. That was a federal operation. It was a drug smuggling operation.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. And this is all continuing on today. We have basically a lot of this traces back. These people are in the Skull and Bones Society. We have George W. Bush, again, carrying on the tradition of war and drug trafficking with the invasion of Iraq under pretenses known to be false prior to the invasion. So they're still facilitating that agenda. And John Kerry on the other side, who supposedly is the opposition, was actually the assistant DA at the time when his office filed the false murder charges against Private William Tyree, when he and his wife were trying to expose Operation Watchtower, and Elaine was killed while she was working for the Army Criminal Investigative Division.
Well, I don't think we should be surprised. Over 100 people who knew something about the Kennedy assassination were all killed. That was a book called The Missing Witnesses. And I've actually written by Craig Roberts. It's out of print now. We really, if we had the funds, we'd get that back into print. It's so important that people understand the history. If you don't understand the past, you sure can't see what's going on today. Garland, how can people get hold of your book? Because I think it's a very important book, in addition to the libraries of all of our listeners.
Well, thank you, Stan. And by the way, we would love for you to carry it any time. But right now you can get it through by calling Tony at Epic Book Promotions, and it's 888-808-5440, 888-808-5440. And also, please be sure to ask for a couple of special electronic email reports we'll send you in addition to the book at no charge, and they have to do with the Skull and Bone Society and how Kerry and Bush are members in the same society, how Kerry has protected the Bushes for decades through Senate Foreign Intelligence Committee investigations and other things, where he's protected the Bushes. And
you know, what the tragedy is, you know, so many of sincere liberals really thought if we could just get Kerry in there, everything would be all right. And so many dedicated Christians and conservatives said, oh, if we just get Bush in, everything's going to be all right. Without realizing they're both controlled by the same people. They're both dedicated to continuing this war. They're both dedicated to globalization, to shipping our jobs, and our factories and our wealth overseas and impoverishing the American people and merging us into this united Western Hemisphere, just exactly as we have a united Europe. So we'll have a united Western Hemisphere. And of course, we're moving rapidly towards World War III. People don't understand that soon there's going to be a sense of total hopelessness here when, of course, the war comes about. They know what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. And Fallujah is going to play an important part in that, because we're going to antagonize the entire Islamic world by what we're doing.
Well, exactly. And I think that's by design. And that's the sad part about it. And just to add to what you were mentioning, John Kerry, as you just said, has voted actually for every piece of legislation that Bush has supported, all the ones that are so detrimental to us. The invasion of Iraq, he supported. The Patriot Act, which is stealing our freedoms, he supported. The GATT and NAFTA trade agreements that have outsourced our jobs and reduced the sovereignty of America to this new world order that the Bushes are trying to get through. All of that was supported by John Kerry right down the line. So there, as you said, there is no choice if you're trying to choose between the two major political parties.
That's why they had to get rid of Howard Dean. He was against the war, and they didn't want the people to have a chance to vote against the war. They wanted them to have a chance to vote for two candidates who both supported the same suicidal policy.
Exactly.
Plunging America deeper and deeper into the quicksand of the morass of the Middle East.
And they would have a gentleman's agreement not to expose each other as brothers of the scumbag.
Well, of course, they were only about 2 years apart there at Yale University, both members of the same secret society. Isn't that interesting? Well, Garland, do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Just never give up. Just to keep on trying to expose the corruption and try to get the word out, tell all your friends. And I thank you for mentioning the book. I hope you'll look at blackforestpress.com.
Hey, you get that telephone number out one more time.
Sure. It's 888-808-5440.
That's 888-808-5440. God bless you, Garland. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Stan.
Bye-bye.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I really want, of course, to mention that we carry the Berkey, big Berkey water filters. We carry the Berkey light water filters. If you're here in California, you're going to have to get a Berkey light. They are more inexpensive. They're $199, and if you buy it through us, well, you'll get a four-tape set of video we produced. Of course, you're still going to have to pay, I think, $10 for shipping, but this is a great water filter because, of course, it's one of the few water filters I know. If you get the special post filters, we'll take out the fluoride and the arsenic. And of course, there's no other way you're going to get it out. They are going to put it in the water here, every place in the state of California. And you need to understand the dangers of water fluoridation. How does it affect you? Why? It affects your fertility. It affects your intelligence, and you can lower an IQ of the child 10 points. It's shown by the studies in China. Why it's going to, of course, have an effect on your bones. It's going to have an effect on your hormonal system, your thyroid system. It actually will give you dental fluorosis, infirmity, areas which people have heavily fluoridated water. They age prematurely. They die early. Of course, it produces cancer. They know all of these things. They just don't want you to know. Consider very seriously getting our four-tape set on water fluoridation. Consider getting the book, The Fluoride Deception, which we do carry. And then give serious consideration to getting yourself either a big Berkey, if you're outside of California, or a Berkey Life water filter. And, of course, you'll have to get the post filters to go with that. But, of course, if you really care about your family, you want to protect them, they are intent. Governor Schwarzenegger has already passed the legislation. Who knows? Maybe you're not even going to be able to get them a few years from now. Give us a call right now for the big Berkey or Berkey Life. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time we need to remind our supporters that Radio Liberty is listener supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of, because that's how we're able to do what we do. 5 hours every day. 5 hours on radio, 5 hours on the internet, 4 hours on shortwave, 5 hours now on satellite. It's been quite a proposition to get it all together, but we have it. Things that you can do, well, if you're in an area that, that of course, does not carry our program, go to the local radio station and ask if there's any way they could carry half an hour a week or an hour a week or every day. And we have one or two stations that do carry us pro bono or with people locally financing, getting those programs on. And we just picked up a program down in El Centro where a pharmacist there wanted this on. And so, of course, our program is being heard now in El Centro and Palm Desert and all down in that area. And gradually, little by little, now we're being heard in Austin, Texas, and in Tennessee. And new stations are putting down our program, and people are hearing things they never have heard before. So encourage your friends to go to our website at radioliberty.com. And there, of course, you can hook up to either to our own website or the other websites. We're on 5 internet programs. And you can listen to Radio Liberty 5 hours a day and not get much of anything accomplished, but you'll get a lot of great information. You can hear us 4 hours a day on shortwave. And, of course, the afternoon program, the program you're hearing now, at 7.535, and you can hear it in the evening at 7.535 as well. And then, of course, there is a second channel that you can actually pick us up at the evening, the first hour at 5.835. That's 5.835. The second hour at 5.970, 5970. Tell others about our programs. Tell them about our internet site. Encourage them to go onto our website and pull down our newsletters, because I agonize over those every month, but there's a lot of great information in there, and it's all valid, and all the documentation is there. So if you want to document some of the things we talk about, the books we talk about, and if the government documents are there, you just have to know where to find them on the internet. One of the most interesting ones we've found recently goes along with this influenza scare. They're trying to scare everybody into getting those influenza shots, despite the fact that, of course, according to Dr. Fudenberg, if you are between 60 and 65, and you were to take 3 to 4 influenza shots over a 5-year period, 10 years down the line, why your chances of getting Alzheimer's disease goes up 1,000%. And so why would they want to give that to older people? Why would they want to give that to a 6-month-old child? Because that's what they're telling parents. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there really are evil people out there, and they want to hurt the children. Now, this is not the average doctor. This is not the average person working in public health, but they do not know about Dr. Fudenberg's work. If you'd like to get a reference to that, why, of course, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll either send you a copy of his abstract, or we'll tell you where to find it on the internet yourself. Get the information out. If we can get people to understand this one thing, there really are evil people who want to hurt the public, and they're using influenza vaccinations. They've used the childhood vaccinations with their toxic doses of thimerosal, and the incidence of autism has gone from 1 in 10,000 to about 1 in 150 children, and since it's much more common in boys than in girls, to about 1 in 50 boys. One in every 6 children now has a neurodevelopmental abnormality, and most of those are related to the thimerosal poison, mercury poison, that they've been putting in the vaccines. You need to get our 4-tape set on mercury. You need to get our 4-tape set on aspartame, NutraSweet. You need to get our 4-tape set on water fluoridation. You need to get, of course, the book, The Fluoride Deception. There's so much available from Radio Liberty. Give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 and then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.